Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. You're all very welcome, and it's good to see a church so well filled this Sunday morning. And if you're a visitor with us, good morning to you and welcome to First Rothford Island. And we encourage you to sign the visitor's book in the vestibule. I have just some very short announcements to make this morning in advance of the service. You just bear with me for a couple of moments, and I'll be as quick as I can. Just to say, on Tuesday evening, the 25th, the Easter Club preparation meeting will be taking place in the manse at 7 o'clock. Then on Wednesday evening, midweek prayer meeting and Bible study at 8 p.m. in the Morrison Room. Reminder to all our young people that now BB and GB is now closed for the summer months, as in meeting regularly on Thursday and Friday evenings. And just on your behalf, can I say a big thank you to all of the officers and leaders and helpers associated with both BB and GB for all of their efforts from September right through to now. And I know it just doesn't finish now, by the way, in case you think the door's closed and there's a lot of summer activities arranged. But thank you to one and all for your effort and for your contribution to church life here through our youth. Thank you. And on that note, next Saturday morning, the 29th, the BB will be holding and hosting a coffee morning and car wash from 10 to 2, so you can come along, get the car washed, and nip into the church hall for a wee coffee. So if you're about town next Saturday morning, 10 until 2, call in here to the church hall and support the work of our BB. Next Sunday morning, prayer meeting, as usual, at 11 a.m. in the minor hall, followed by morning worship here in the church at 11:30. And DV, the service will be conducted by our minister, the Reverend Moody. Could I just say that there will be a very short choir practice after next Sunday morning service in preparation for Easter Sunday. So if the choir could just make a wee note of that. Margaret sent me that wee note earlier in the week. And it is with great sadness that we announce the passing of Mrs. Pamela Gardiner. Pamela passed away during the week, and we extend our deepest sympathy to her husband Gary and their children Hannah and to John, and to Pamela's mother, Nancy, and her siblings, Evelyn, Mary, and John. On your behalf, on the behalf of this congregation, we extend our deepest and heartfelt sympathy to the Gardiner family at this time. And a private committal took place here in the churchyard on Thursday. These are all the announcements I have, and I hand over to the Reverend Moody.
Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship here at First Rothford Island. You're all very welcome. Just a little note about the Easter Club planning meeting this Tuesday at 7 o'clock. It will be a short meeting held over a cup of tea and coffee, hopefully, but just to see what we can do for an Easter Club the Thursday before Easter. And we may even look just very briefly into the Holiday Bible Club, possibly even, dare I say it, a slight change, well, a big change of dates potentially. But so that will be in the manse. It'll be relaxed, it will be short, and please do plan to attend if you can help. Again, all help is gratefully received for that. Also, for the car wash, I've been doing my duty, David, and making sure my car is really, I think the Ballymena term is really bogging. So please, if your car is like that, come and get it washed. And as you do so, it's a great support to the BB, and I think to certain different missionary outreaches that will be taking place as well. So it'll be a cup of coffee well spent that morning. So please do plan to come along. In Psalm 95, we read these words: "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." We have a great God, a God who loves us and cares for us. So let us stand and worship him as we sing our first hymn, "Jesus is the Name We Honor." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice as we gather here this morning. Lord, we rejoice bringing praises to your name because, Lord, you are the rock of our salvation. Lord, you are the one who sent your Son to die for us so we can live forever, so we can live now in your presence, receiving your blessings, and then forevermore with you. Lord, we give you praise. And Lord, we seek to give you all praise, glory, and honor through our lives. So Lord, as we gather here in this place today, Lord, I pray that you will refresh us, encourage us as we sing your praises, as we gather around your word. Lord, I pray that you will rebuke us. Lord, show us the things in our lives that shouldn't be there. Lord, show us the things that are not there that should. Lord, we confess we have all sinned. Lord, in the past week we have let you down in word, thought, and deed. Lord, forgive us in and through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I pray through the Holy Spirit, you will encourage us, equip us, enthuse us, so we may go out into this new week, living our lives for you. And Lord, making a difference wherever we go, for your glory and honor. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, we look first at the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 4. And this again will be what the children will be looking at when they go out to Sunday school. But we'll take a look at it together first. So Ruth chapter 4, reading from verse 13 to 17. So let us hear the word of the Lord. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The woman living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Amen. And then turning to the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, as we continue looking through this passage. After Easter, we'll go back to the Old Testament, but until then, we'll keep looking through Mark. And today we come to the passage where Jesus works with the little children. So Mark chapter 10, reading from verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, if the children would like to come to the front, I will come down and talk with everyone there.
Great. It's good to see you all. And before I start, I have to give you one little word of advice. See, if you have laces in your shoes, make sure they're tied, because someone may have noticed that I almost come down the stairs fairly quickly because my left one wasn't. But that would have been something to see Sunday morning. So make sure your laces are well tied, or you may be in for a tumble. Now, how would you make an agreement with someone?
If you wanted something, for example, what would you go and say to your mum or dad? Would you ever say, listen, if you give me this, I will clean the dishes, wash the dishes. Would you ever do something like that? Try and bargain so you can get what you want? No? No? You just say, I want this, and it happens. Is that it? No, that doesn't happen either. Well, sometimes, if you're going to make an agreement, you will say, I promise. I promise I will do what I said if you promise to do what you say. Is it good to make promises? Is it? Why? I see not just, why is it not always good to make promises? Yeah, it could be something good, it could be something bad, or sometimes we can make promises and we're not really able to keep them. We should always be very careful. Before you make a promise, think very carefully. Is it a good promise and can you actually keep it? Sometimes we make promises. Sometimes when you're a little bit older, perhaps, you might shake hands. You do a deal down in the cartel mark or whatever and you shake hands, deal done. Or sometimes when you're a little bit older, you may start to sign things. To say a promise, you sign, and when you put your name down, that means you're going to be held to it. It's very hard to get out of it when you sign something. So be careful about making promises, but when you get older, be very careful what you sign. Very careful, because it'll be hard to get out of it. But Ruth and Naomi, they had been blessed by God. Things had been so difficult, remember. Naomi had lost her husband, her two sons. She came back to Israel. Everything was a little bit different. She came back, thankfully, with her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And the only thing that they could do was Ruth went into the field and worked very hard, not taking all the beautiful grain that was out in the field, but just the leftovers, the bits that were left behind. And through that, she was still able to get enough. In fact, when she was there, she ended up in a man's field. What was the name of the man's field she worked in? Yeah. Boaz, who turned out to be a relative, and he made sure they had plenty of food. You see, God was guiding them. But now harvest time was over. Where would they get food? Well, Naomi and Ruth talked, and Naomi came up with a cunning plan. Naomi was quite smart. She came up with a plan that would mean Ruth would be looked after, Naomi would be looked after, and it would be good for everyone. It would be good for everyone. And it seemed there was only one plan. If this plan worked, it was good, but there was no plan B. And part of that plan was to marry someone. Part of that plan was to marry Boaz. If Ruth married Boaz, then in this case, everything would be okay. Now, nowadays, marriage is not the solution to every problem. It can cause problems. But in those days, that's what it would mean for Ruth to marry Boaz. Then the land would stay with Ruth, Naomi, and that side of the family. So it would be great if Boaz would agree to marry Ruth. Would he do it? Would he agree to marry Ruth? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Come on, congregation. Yeah? Yes! Because it seemed as Ruth had been working hard, their eyes must have met over the ears of corn, and during that time, it seemed love was in the air after all. So when Ruth made it known, in those days it was really unknown for the lady to say, listen, I would like you to marry me, but that's what Ruth did. Ruth was risking so much to come forward like that, but Boaz said, yes, I'll marry you, but there's one problem. Because of the law, the closest relative would have to be given the option to marry you first. Because whoever marries you will get all the land. And land was so important. Is land important today? Yeah, we heard someone say yes there somewhere. Yeah. Land can be very, it was very important then as well. That land was important. So there was somebody else. Now, what would Boaz do? Would he pretend he didn't know about the other relative? Would he go and get married quickly? Would he do that? Or would he do what was right? What do you think? Yeah. He would do what was right. Sometimes doing what was right may cause a bit of bother, but it's always right to do what is right. That's what God wants each one of us to do. God wants each one of us to be honest, to make sure we do everything as right as possible, because that's how God wants us to live. That's how we can give God the honor. As the song we sang at the start said, by trying to do everything he says. So Boaz set up a meeting at the city gate. And when he told this man about the land, oh, the man was so excited. A bit more land, I'll be having that. But then Boaz said, if you take the land, you also have to marry Ruth. So the land will never really be yours. Now, would anyone here buy a lot of land that would never actually be yours? Would you do that? Would that seem a wise investment? Not really, would it? But it wouldn't. And this man, when he heard that, says, no, I'm not going to be helpful. I wanted the land, but I don't want to help Ruth out or Naomi. So he said, no, you can have the land. And do you know what they did? They didn't say, I promise. They didn't shake hands. I could almost do it now, actually, because my shoe's untied, but I won't. Respect you too much. Took off the sandal. Took off what he was wearing and gave it over. That was a sign to say, I promise I will do it. What I've said, I'm going to do. So Boaz promised he would marry Ruth and he would buy the land and keep it for her and her descendants. You see, Naomi, Boaz was a good man, a man who followed God, a man who wanted to do everything God said, and that is how we should be. Sometimes it may mean doing hard things, but that's what we should do if we love God, and God will help it and make sure it turns out right, because Ruth and Boaz, they finally got married. They finally got married, and it wasn't long after this that a little child came. A little child came, and this little child was called Obed. And this little child's grandfather was, in the congregation, I'm sure you'll know who was the grandfather of this child. No, the grandson. That makes it David. And then all down the way down the line to the Lord Jesus himself. You see, God had a plan all the time for Ruth, for Naomi. And here it was, Obed, this little son. You see, God's ways are the right ways. You need to make sure you just keep doing what he says. He will lead you. He will guide you. Every promise he makes, is it true? You can depend on it. No sandals have to be passed over. Whatever God says, he will do. His promises are always worth trusting in. So make sure you trust his promises and make sure you do what is right. Even though sometimes it can be really difficult, do what's right and God will bless you and help you, just like he did with Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz, and then little Obed. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we admit at times, sometimes we like to do the easy thing. Go the easy way, and then we wonder why things end up a mess. Lord, help us do what is right. Help us live by your word, because you're a great God. You do know best. You want the best for each one of us. So help us live by your word, so we might be blessed, and so we can be a help and a blessing to those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing. We're going to sing the beautiful chorus, Thank You, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know if I did fall down the stairs, no one would have laughed. What? Anyway. And there's a couple of slides in the PowerPoint for the... Again, this morning, we're going to be praying for Belfast City Mission. Again, when it comes to our Easter offering, and Belfast City Mission is part of who the offering will go to. Again, in the midweek, the first Wednesday in September, we will have someone from Belfast City Mission. I tried to get someone at the end of the month, but I couldn't. But Belfast City Mission, I'm sure you know them so well, an urban mission involved in evangelism right in the city of Belfast. And their aim is to reach out to the churchless, the poor with the love of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. So their mission is to reach out to those that don't come into a church on a Sunday morning or evening, those that need to hear the gospel so they can respond to. Again, there's 16 districts in Belfast where they work at the moment, mission halls and centres used for evangelism. And of course, they depend on money given to them so they can do their work. Again, by many churches, in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland and many fellowships, I give them generous donations and gifts so they can do their work. They would have things, for example, during the week, drop-in coffee mornings. They would have tots groups. They would have, most of them will have a service today at some time, some in the afternoon, some in the evening. They would also have a prayer time and Bible study sometime during the week as well. And then they have other focused activities where they reach out with the gospel to the unreached. And again, there's many Belfast City Mission workers. Here's one family. This is Paul and Yvonne McCaw. They're in, I think it's Jersey Street, if I can see that rightly. Yeah, they were in a different hall with Belfast City Mission, but now they've moved there to Jersey Street. This is one of the Belfast City Mission workers I would know. I would know him because he grew up with me in Ballylochan. You wouldn't think it, but he is the same age as me. I know he looks very old. But they've just moved to this different area in Belfast in the last year. So just pray for them, Paul and Yvonne, as they're reaching out there into that community in Belfast, around that area, drawing children in, drawing mums in, and others, Lord, who coming to hear the gospel. So pray for them and pray that God will use them to bring forth great fruit themselves and the other 15 mission halls that Belfast City Mission work with in Belfast. Pray that God will use them richly and they will have the opportunities to even personally present the gospel and others will come to know him as their saviour through the work of Belfast City Mission. So let us pray for that work. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of Belfast City Mission, for those who have worked hard over the many years, Lord, in Belfast, reaching out into different parts of Belfast to people with virtually no church background, many with none, yet they're taking the gospel faithfully forth through the children's ministry, through the services, the midweeks, through the different opportunities you give them. Lord, I pray that you will continue to show them different ways that they can take your word, the gospel, faithfully to the people in those areas, that they will be great witnesses for you, and that, Lord, you will give them the joy of seeing people, boys and girls, men and women, come to know you as their personal savior through the work that they do. Lord, I pray that you'll look after Paul and Yvonne and the family as they still get used to this new area. Lord, give them the wisdom that's needed to know what different things can be done, what things perhaps won't work in this new area. And Lord, help them make those personal contacts so they can reach out, so people will come in to hear your word and be brought into your family. Lord, I pray that you will use them Use Paul and Yvonne and the rest of the Belfast City Mission workers for your glory and honour. And Lord, as we pray for them again, we thank you for the GB, for the display that was held on Thursday past. We thank you for the parents that all came through the doors as well to see the children just do the different things they had planned. Lord, I thank you for the officers who just work so hard and will continue to work hard, Lord, with the different activities planned between now and when they start again in September. Lord, I pray that you'll just look after the Captain Wendy, and Lord, lead her and help her as the different choices and different things that need organized. And Lord, just the other officers, Lord, that are around her, that Lord, just are supporting and carrying this work forward for your glory and honor. We thank you for them. And Lord, we thank you for the BB as well. Lord, I thank you for the officers there too, and for the continued work, Lord, that they will be doing often together with the GB. And we thank you for that united work. Lord, united working together, the Boys Brigade and GB, united and working together with leaders from all different churches in the area. Lord, working for your kingdom, for your glory and honour. So bless them in their unity, we pray. And Lord, I pray you'll help each of us do the same. Help us to be ready to work shoulder to shoulder with others for your glory and honour. Lord, as we seek to reach out into this area and further afield, help us keep our eyes focused on you. Help us take the opportunities that come, even opportunities that may come this week, as we go our separate ways after today into our work lives. Lord, give us opportunities to share your word. Help us not be quiet. Help us share the love we have with you, with others, so they may come to know you also. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Now let us stand and worship God, this time as we sing the hymn, Behold Our God. Now, as far as I know, we all have the same amount of time to work with, don't we? 60 minutes in the hour, 24 hours in the day, 7 days in the week. It's a limited time, so we all have to have priorities, don't we? Things that we give our valuable time to, because there's no doubt about it, time is valuable. So we have to think carefully. How can we use that precious time we have? We cannot do everything. Sometimes others will try and tell us what our priorities should be, what we should use our time for, and what we shouldn't waste our time on. And that's what happens in our passage today. The disciples seem to be trying to dictate to Jesus, telling him what he should use his time for and what he shouldn't waste his time for. And of course, Jesus and the disciples had completely different thoughts on that, as we will see. Again, people were bringing their children to Jesus. They wanted him to touch them, we're told, to bless them. Again, that was a common practice at the time. People would have brought their children to the rabbi to be blessed. Back in the Old Testament, people are recorded as bringing their children to Noah, Jacob, Isaac, to have them blessed. Now people are doing the same with Jesus. So obviously they saw something special in the Lord Jesus. They wanted him to bless their children. What age they were, we cannot tell, but small enough for Jesus to hold them in his hands. That's what we're told here. The people recognizing something of Jesus through what he had said, through the miracles he had performed, and because of that, they wanted him to bless their children. But the disciples didn't. We're told here the disciples stopped them. In fact, it says here the disciples rebuked them, as if to say, "How dare you bring your children to Jesus?" Perhaps they thought it was a waste of their master's time. You see, in those days, children were seen as having little value. They had less rights than most in the day. In fact, in ancient Rome, the father held absolute power over the children, patre potestas, it was called. A father could condemn a child to die simply by commanding it. It was done, and nothing could be done against that. Nothing would have been said against it. Again, this practice only stopped in 375 AD. Children's lives then, not really valued. Whatever the reason the disciples had, they thought it was their duty to stop the children coming to Jesus. Would Jesus agree with them? Was he simply too important, too busy to take time for the little children? Absolutely not. We don't have many occurrences when we find Jesus gets angry, but here is one of them. Jesus gets angry because the disciples are stopping people bringing their children to him. Again, the other times he gets angry is when he threw the sellers out of the temple. Another time in the synagogue when he had healed a man's hand on the Sabbath. He was angry with the Pharisees, horrible, unloving nature. It was a righteous anger, and he seemed to keep that for the so-called religious. When Jesus gets angry, we need to take note why, because it's always for a very important reason, and we, of course, do not want to be doing the same. In this case, Jesus is angry because the disciples were stopping the children from coming. He had already explained the importance of a little child not too long ago in Mark chapter 9, verse 36 to 37. He blatantly told them the importance of welcoming them then, but they still did not get it. The disciples seemed to have a very good way of forgetting things that were important. I wonder, is that like us sometimes? We can be like them. We can hear spiritual truths many times, but our actions can show that they've not really registered with us as yet. We need to pray that God helps us understand his word, the implications for our lives, our behavior, and that he will give us the desire, the ability, and the opportunity to put it into action. We need to be praying that God will help us understand his word and apply it. Because the disciples seemed to just, it went in one ear and out the other. Jesus makes it very clear to them in terms that even the disciples could not misunderstand. He tells them here, let the children come to me. They are so valuable. Let them come. Do not hinder them. Don't you dare stop these little ones coming to me. Why? He even tells them that. Because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. How special are the children? The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Again, the kingdom of God, biblically, that's where God reigns, where God's blessings are poured out. The Bible talks about the kingdom of God being in the lives of those who have bowed the knee to him. It is where people are living for him now. But it also talks about the day the kingdom of God will come in all its fullness, when Jesus returns and every knee shall bow. The kingdom of God, it was not for some elite group. God's blessings extend to the whosoever that call upon his name. Whosoever, no matter what background they've come from, no matter what age, older or even little children. They are not excluded because of their age, we're told here. Not excluded because they're not capable of serving in it yet. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these, Jesus said. Therefore, what is the therefore? What are we to do about that? Well, we are to welcome the children, aren't we? We are to not hinder them. We include the children in our services. We do not keep them away. We do not keep them away because perhaps they may be a little bit noisy. No, we do not keep them away. We welcome them. We do whatever we can. We bend over backwards and more if that's possible, so they can come to the service and feel relaxed. We dare not frown when they make noise. We dare not make parents feel uneasy because their children are being children. We rejoice that they are here and we include them in whatever way we can. Why? Because they are an important part of church. They are important, just as the Lord Jesus said. So we welcome them and we seek to do nothing to hinder them. And that means we dare not even look with those frowns at times. We want to let our children know they are welcomed. What else do we do? Well, we make sure we teach them. We do not simply try to entertain the children. Sunday school and children's church, well, Sunday school now is not simply children childminding so the parents can worship God in peace. It is a place of teaching. Again, and first we combine it with whatever they hear from the children, from the children's talk, is taken out into Sunday school and expanded and looked into so the children can know those truths and then apply them to their own hearts. Again, Deuteronomy 6, verse 67. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. That's a command. That's what we're called to do. We are not called to simply entertain. We are called to impress the commandments of God on the hearts of our children. And that's what is happening out there in the different rooms the children are in as the faithful Sunday school teachers are teaching. Again, Psalm 78, verse 45. These are verses when I worked in CEF. We had to know these. We had to know the whole of Psalm 78, learning it off by heart. And Matthew says in Psalm 78, we will not hide them from your children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. We will not hide the gospel truths from the children. We will seek to make sure they know them as we teach them. Who our God is, what he has done for us, who we are, how we have sinned. We need to teach our children about the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done for us, for our children, so they can have their sins forgiven, so they can have life to the full as they trust in Him. We want our children to fall in love with God so they can then choose to follow Him. So therefore they need to be taught faithfully. Because of course we know the Bible tells us that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. There's no age limit in that, is there? It doesn't say, well, this is the age where you can suddenly understand and then trust. Sometimes I find it hard to understand some things in Scripture. But the things we need to understand, the Holy Spirit can make clear to us. And that can be at a young age as well. C.H. Spurgeon said, a child of 5, if properly instructed, can as truly believe and be regenerated as an adult. A child of 5, if properly instructed, can as truly believe and be regenerated as an adult. Do you believe that? You know, I remember my Sunday school time. I remember sitting with 3 pews from the back of Ballylochan Church, and I forget the name of the Sunday school teacher. It's not terrible, but he was a woodworking teacher from Dunclog College. Strange things I can remember. I also remember he used to try and bribe us to learn memory verses by giving us dime bars. And I forget, but this is how cheeky your minister was at one point. I told him at one point I didn't like dime bars, so we could just keep it. And I was a young one. Don't tell my mother that. I should be in front and still. But yet, even though at times I didn't want to hear and certainly didn't want to learn things because of a little dime bar, something he kept saying got through. And I still remember going home by myself at the age of 8 and asking the Lord to forgive me for my sins. And I can remember that very clearly. And trusting in Him and depending in Him. Not knowing everything. Still don't. I know you find that hard to believe. No, you don't. I still certainly don't know everything. But I knew enough to know I had sinned. I knew enough to know Jesus had died for me on the cross. And I knew enough that I simply had to depend on Him. That it wasn't about what I could do. But He had done it all. And therefore trusting in Him meant I was forgiven. And of course, that's the same for all of us, isn't it? It's not what we do. It's what Christ has already done, and we trust in Him. You know, we are to encourage our children. Never hinder them. Never hinder them. Never try to put them off coming to Christ, following Christ. Remember, this is what Jesus warned the disciples back in Mark 9:42. Don't hinder the children. They had not learned that lesson yet. We must be careful we do not hinder our children too. How could we do that? By our actions. If we show the kingdom of God is of no importance to us, why should it be important to our children? If we hardly ever go to church, why would they ever want to? If we do not see the importance of sending our children to Sunday school, why would they see the importance of going? We need to be careful. We can hinder our children at times by not teaching them ourselves. Whose responsibility is it to teach the Bible to the children? First and foremost, it's parents. Ephesians 6 verse 4, in fact, here it says, fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That verse is saying fathers should be teaching the children God's word. Do not leave it to Sunday school teachers, as amazing as they are. You also need to be teaching your children the word of God, taking the opportunities to teach them directly and also to make sure they go to places where they can hear God's word, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Not only that, but Jesus goes on to say something that would have shocked his disciples. Jesus had a habit of doing that, didn't he? Shocking those around him by the things he said. He said, I tell you the truth. A turn of phrase Jesus often used when something very, very important was going to be said. He tells them, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Now that's fairly clear. What Jesus says, fairly confusing as well, perhaps for us. We have to receive it like a little child. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, the little child, they can't really do much for themselves, can they? They're really helpless. They cannot dress themselves at that early age. They cannot feed themselves. They're not capable of working, hunting, making their own food. Left to fend for themselves, they would have no hope. They are completely dependent on others, aren't they? It's been a while, but that's true, isn't it? Yeah, the children need. They need their parents, grandparents, those around them, because they can do very limited things at a young age. Instead, they depend, completely dependent, and they receive. They receive what they need from others. They have to trust in others. They have no option. Until they can start to crawl, they depend on others to lift them. Until they can handle that spoon, they depend on someone else to lift that spoon to their mouths. Until they can open the lid of something, they themselves are depending on someone else to open that lid so they can get at that food. They trust and simply receive the food they need. They have no option. And that is what Jesus is telling his disciples. It's the same for us, if we understand it or not. We need to acknowledge that when it comes to the kingdom of God, we are absolutely helpless ourselves. We are incapable of making ourselves worthy to enter the kingdom of God. If you come along to the midweek, we are looking at Romans, and Paul makes that very clear in the chapter 2 weeks ago we looked at. By ourselves, we are totally incapable because we have sinned. The Bible tells us because of our sin, we are spiritually dead. We are incapable by ourselves of doing anything to please God. We like to think we can, but we can't. We end up being like little hamsters on one of those little wheels, running so quick, getting absolutely nowhere, getting exhausted, destroying ourselves. Because by ourselves, we are spiritually dead. The Bible says we are slaves to sin. Romans 6, verse 6. We are unable to break free. That's how the Bible describes us. And if we're honest, that's how we know ourselves in our own lives, don't we? Isaiah 64, verse 6. Tells us the things we do, as good as they try to be, they are like filthy rags before a perfect almighty God. By ourselves, we are totally incapable of becoming part of the kingdom of God. Do we realize that? Because that's what the Bible says. If there was any other way, Jesus would not have died for you or me. Are you trusting in yourself, your own abilities, your church attendance, your offering, your self-righteousness? They will never grant you entrance to the kingdom of God. There's more chance of a little infant being able to invent a rocket, build it themselves and fly it to Mars, and then go on and build a colony there themselves, than any of us being able to make ourselves right for the kingdom of God. Absolutely impossible. As ludicrous as that picture of a child making a space rocket themselves, we don't always understand that, but that's what the Bible says. We cannot. That's why Jesus came, to do what you and I cannot. He came to seek and to save the lost. He paid the price for your sin and mine, not just a bit of it, and then you do pay for the rest. He paid for all of your sin completely on the cross, so you can have eternal life, so you can become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, just like a little child. You need to receive what God is offering you through the Lord Jesus. It is a gift that you cannot, you do not work for, you receive. The Lord Jesus, he came, he died on the cross to seek and to save the lost. That is you and that is me. And we simply need to receive that gift. The Bible says, whosoever, that's you, that's me. That's little ones as they listen to the gospel, as God helps them understand. Then what do? Well, we receive. You don't try and pay for a gift, do you? Some people might try, but then it's not a gift. You've bought it. You need to acknowledge that you and I do not deserve God's forgiveness because of our sin. We need to acknowledge that you can do nothing about your sin, yourself. You need to acknowledge that Jesus has done it all and then receive it. What a wonderful gift God offers you through Christ. You receive that. Trust in him. There is no other way. Make sure you have come to God like a little child, acknowledging your sinfulness, that you can do nothing spiritually to change yourself, that you need to trust in Jesus who has done it all and put your faith in him. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked look to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Depending on Christ, he will welcome you into his family. He will give you the gift of eternal life. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Make sure you're doing whatever God has placed in your path to help welcome the children to him. May the Lord help us never hinder them. And first and foremost, make sure you're part of the kingdom of God as you have come to him as a child, surrendering yourself, receiving the gift of forgiveness that he offers you today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice that you're a God who loves us and cares for us, that you're a God who has made the way for us to know you now and forever. Lord, we do not have to do so many works before you will accept us, because your Son has done it all. Lord, help us acknowledge that. Help us receive the salvation that is offered freely through Christ. Freely to us, Christ paid it with his death on the cross, so we can be forgiven. Help each one of us trust in you, like little children, depending on you completely. And then help us do what we can to direct our children so they can come to know you themselves as we faithfully teach them and make sure we never hinder them. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing our final hymn, There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood. now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you, both now and forevermore. Amen.